The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko on AM 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Thanks for getting up early on this Sunday morning. It's a little bit cold out there. It's 9:03, and I think it was less than 60 degrees when I got up.
You have an alarm system? Use it.
That doesn't seem very fair, since it is August. Today what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about various topics, dental news bites we like to call this. Before we do that, a couple of things I'd like to mention, and one is, well, one I'm very excited about, and that is, for callers today, I have two tickets to the OSU versus Navy game coming up on September 5th, and what I'd love to do is to raise some money for Down Syndrome, Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio, and what I want to do is have people call in, 821-1230. Call in with your questions, your guesses, and also let us know if you'd be willing to make a donation to the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. Now, this promotion, this little thing is me, Dr. Kvitko. It does not involve Clear Channel Radio in any way, shape, or form. And so I just thought it would be a nice thing to do. These are tickets that I have and decided that I would put them to good use and raise some money. So our number is 821-1230. And so give us a call. Let me just tell you what our question of the day is today. And if you, when you call, just let us know if you are interested in the tickets, if you might be able to make a donation to the Down Syndrome, and also if you have a guess to our question of the day, which is, what percent of dentists obtain their continuing education online? All right? What percent of dentists can obtain their continuing education online? We'll have a little bit more about that later. We are going to talk about a $2 million award that a woman received against her dentist and what it was that was worth $2 million. We're going to talk a little bit about bad breath, what causes it, what you can do about it. But let me go back to the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio, because on September 13th, they are having their buddy walk. It's at Crew Stadium. It actually runs from 9 a.m. through 6 p.m. There are events that go on all day. And your contributions and fundraising efforts help support many programs, services, scholarship funds, and educational programs that the association provides to its members. Now, we held a golf outing to raise money for this cause, and I don't have the final tally on that yet, but we should soon. And what we want to do is donate it in the name of a patient of ours, Libby Turner, who happens to have Down syndrome, but anyway, we do this in honor of Libby, and she'll be there, and we'll, my team will walk. It's a one-mile walk. It's a very simple walk, but it shows support, and it's a lot of fun. There are lots of people. There's food and fun and games, and I just think it's neat. So a little bit about the buddy walk. For example, each year they... The Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio joins the Down Syndrome Associations across the country by holding a one-mile buddy walk to support and celebrate the lives of individuals with Down Syndrome. DSACO's 2008 buddy walk was held September 28th at Columbus Crew Stadium, and there were over 4,000 participants who gathered in a festive tailgate atmosphere to enjoy the camaraderie of others who care deeply about Down Syndrome. Over 130 DSACO Buddy Walk teams raised more than $250,000 to support the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio programs and services. So, you should be able to sign up if you want to be on our team. Go to the website, which is www.d as in dog, s as in Sam, a as in apple, c as in Charles, o as in over, .net. And then if you want to just type in /BuddyWalk, you can do that. Our team is called Libby's Toothbuds. All right. So please do that. And so we have the... you can also, besides calling us with questions and comments, you can send us an email to dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. And speaking of that, we had a question from a gentleman who sent an email, and I emailed him back encouraging him to actually call because I said that I would do my best to answer his question. But I actually have some questions of him. As you may know, when people call in, I try to get a little bit better picture of what's really going on. And so we'll see if he calls. His name is Mike from Endicott, New York. But in the meantime, let me just tell you what his question is. His question is, should partial dentures make you gag, or is it psychological? Can the partials be made with the full plate honed down to fit more snugly? He says, I don't know where you turn to get these questions answered. All right, Mike. Well, actually, like I said, if you're able to give a call, you're in New York, so it'd be 614-821-1230. And I'll just give some general answers, some general comments about this topic. First of all, there are many people out there who gag. They gag easily. Now, what's interesting to me is they don't gag on food. You can put... These same people can put food in their mouth, no problem. But when I get close to them, say with a dental x-ray, or we try to take an impression, they literally will start to gag when I'm still about 2 feet away from them. And that makes it very difficult, first of all, to even get impressions or to get x-rays. But let's just say, for example, in Mike's case, his dentist was able to get him past that part. And so they've obviously made him a denture, and now a partial denture, and now it gags him, and it doesn't sound like he's able to wear it. And I've had a few people with this severe gag reflex. All right, so what we can do, especially when we know there a person is a gagger, is what I'll do is I will numb a person. I'll numb you just like I'm going to do fillings. I'll numb both sides of the tongue, and I'll numb both sides of the roof of your mouth. That may sound scary, but it really isn't, and it works well, because those are the areas that actually trigger the gag reflex. Now keep in mind, it is a reflex, which means you don't have the same control over it that you might think or wish. And with that in mind, I feel like the only way we can work with this person is to inactivate that reflex. So if you're sitting on the doctor's exam table and he hits your knee with the little rubber mallet, your foot jumps forward, and you can't stop that. You can't sit there and say, I'm not going to let my foot go forward. He hits you with the mallet on that spot, your leg goes forward. It's involuntary. And that's what happens with people who gag with things in their mouth. All right, so... We go ahead and we numb, so now we can get super x-rays, we can get impressions, we can do all of that, but when it comes time to actually wear the partial or the denture, what do you do? Well, Mike says it's a partial, and he feels like it's not fitting snugly enough and wonders if it can be honed down. Well, the answer is yes, it needs to fit very, very snug. It needs to be very thin. Needs to fit even better than a glove. Think of it as a golf glove, a thin golf glove, in order not to trigger that reflex. And so we make the palate out of metal rather than plastic, because metal can be thinner and still be strong. We also can, in a lot of cases, if there are enough natural teeth left, we can design the upper partial so that it has a horseshoe. So rather than covering the entire palate, we only cover minimal areas that absolutely need to be covered. Now, what I've done in the past is we've made a partial and even a denture, and we've pre-planned for the eventuality of having to, as Mike put it, hone it down. So we'll have two different finish lines, maybe even three. We start off with a full palate, one that we hope the patient can wear. And if that doesn't work, there's this other seal, this other bead, if you will. Partial dentures and dentures have this little ridge, this little lip that goes all the way around just about a millimeter inside their back edge that creates a seal, keeps food out, air out, and all that. So we'll start with one length and go to another. If that still doesn't work, we can grind more metal away and make it more of a horseshoe so that a person can actually wear it. So now I've made dentures for this one gentleman when I was trying them in. I put them in his mouth and he, as soon as I let go, spit them out. He just couldn't put them in his mouth even for, you know, 2 seconds. What happened, and part of Mike's question was, is it psychological? And the answer is, it's yes and no. You know, there is a psychological component, meaning you can overcome it. You can have that mind over matter thing. But remember, it's an involuntary reflex to start, and then you can try to control it somewhat by concentrating, by breathing, a lot like women do who are practicing Lamaze during childbirth. So this gentleman got to where he was able to first put it in for just a few minutes, got himself up to about an hour, then 3 hours, and then the last time I saw him, he was able to wear it during work hours. As soon as work was over and he got in his car, it started to gag him again. So there's the mind over matter thing. His mind knew that it didn't matter anymore that he would be wearing the teeth, and so it brought back the gag reflex. All right. So, Mike, yeah, if you want to give a call or you want some more clarification for your particular instance, feel free to let us know. Feel free to call 614-821-1230. And again, people can send us emails to dentallyspeaking@yahoo.com. Now, while I'm mentioning this, remember that this show is also available by podcast by going to www.am1230wyts.com and just hold your mouse over the on-air button, and a list of on-air talent will come up. We use the word talent loosely in my case, but click on Dr. Kvitko and takes you to my page, and in there, or on there in the middle, right above the polar bear getting a root canal, it says click here for podcasting, so you can left-click there and listen to any show that we've ever done. All right, you can also access these shows on iTunes by going to iTunes and then search under podcasts using search word Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. All right. Now remember, question of the day, what percent of dentists obtain their continuing education online? And also remember that today someone has a chance to take home a pair of OSU versus Navy tickets, which the game is September 5th at noon. Okay, now, another interesting story is about dental care and John and Kate, plus 8, the show, says John and Kate's kids need dental care also. And this was an article from dentalplans.com. And it said, the Learning Channel mega hit, John and Kate plus 8, may have hit a few snags as of late due to the couple's marital problems, but the kids are still receiving plenty of loving care from both parents, including dental care. Media sources revealed that John Gosselin was photographed taking the sextuplets for a dental checkup near their home in Reading, Pennsylvania. Or maybe that's Reading, Pennsylvania. Since it's almost time for the Gosselin offspring and other kids across the country to head back to school, it's a great idea to schedule a dental checkup before the big rush at the end of August. And actually, we're almost to the end of August because this is the 23rd. The Center for Disease Control and Surgeon General advise that children receive a dental checkup prior to the start of the school year. Now, let me just interject that the dental profession, specifically the Pediatric Dental Association, suggests that children be brought to a dentist at age 1. And that way we can check their progression, check their mouth and gums, and look for any abnormalities, irregularities, and kind of get them used to the whole notion of being in a dental chair and having someone poke around in there with their fingers or a mouth mirror. And you may know that in order to enroll your child in school, you have to have a visit. They have to have visited a dentist. All right, now, tooth decay is still prevalent among young children, and that 78% of American 17-year-olds have at least one filling. 78%. I mean, that's like as close as you can get to all of them. That's a lot. That's more than I think people realize. Similarly, the CDS says that 51 million hours are lost every year due to childhood dental diseases. School hours. So these kids miss 51 million school hours because of dental diseases. And I don't know about you, but when I would miss class for any reason, I felt so lost when I came back. I was almost afraid to raise my hand because I felt like whatever I didn't know was probably something they covered the day that I missed. So, that's what that means then, is it's doubly important to take your child to his or her dental checkup before entering a new grade. Okay, so this isn't just for the first time. This is every year before your kids go back to school. Schedule an appointment with your dentist to have their teeth checked out, because it's very hard for a child to concentrate when they have a toothache. So, and you know, that makes really good sense. Here's a story that was, let's see, it says, lawyer sues and claims mouthwash stained his teeth. That's nothing new, a lawyer suing, is it? Anyway, I guess in this case it's his own teeth, so I guess that is a little bit odd. A Detroit area lawyer, Mark Rossman, is suing Procter & Gamble Company, saying his teeth have brown stains after he used Crest Pro Health mouthwash. On Procter & Gamble's webpage, the company says stains may be a sign the rinse is working because dead bacteria may be accumulating on the teeth. P&G says the stains are not harmful and can be exaggerated by many factors, such as existing tartar on teeth, consumption of colored beverages like coffee, tea, red wine, or tobacco use. Tooth discoloration is reversible and largely preventable through options like brushing with a powdered toothbrush, with a power toothbrush, meaning a Sonicare or something, and tartar control whitening toothpaste, flossing, and visiting your dental professional regularly. Rossman's lawsuit seeks class action status. It accuses Procter & Gamble of violating the Michigan Consumer Protection Act by not putting a warning on the label. Rossman believes Procter & Gamble should be forced to pay his dental bills to get the stains removed. What do you think? Is Procter & Gamble at fault, or should Mr. Rossman save everyone time and just make an appointment for the dentist? Certainly your thoughts on that are welcome. I personally think that he should just go to his dentist. Because of all these other factors, maybe he's not brushing properly. Maybe he just needs to be instructed on how to brush better. Class action status, if you're not familiar, means he tries to, the attorney tries to gather a whole bunch of people who have had the same thing and sue on their behalf. Although my personal opinion of that, it seems like for the cases where I somehow wound up as one of those people that had that same thing happen, whether it was a defective auto part or something that the credit card companies did, you may remember as well that if you've been involved, that what you get is like $1.36, and then later on you find out that the attorney got, you know, $10 million. So anyway, it is time to go to a break. When we come back, we'll find out what the woman won $2 million in a lawsuit against the dentist for. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS. Hey, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. Thanks for joining me. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kivitko. We're talking teeth, all kinds of things about teeth. And we also throw in a little bit of talk about some charities that I get involved in this case, the Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association, officially known as the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. I need to get that right, because if you want to go to their website, you'll need to know the order of things. So what we're trying to do is raise some money for the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. And to one of my listeners, I am going to be giving away a pair of OSU tickets to the September 5th game against Navy. This is not a Clear Channel promotion. This is a Dr. Kivitko promotion. So if anybody is upset with this, call me, not Clear Channel. basically, one of my listeners today who calls in with a question will receive these tickets. We'll do it random. If you'd like to make a donation to Down Syndrome, that would be wonderful, but you don't have to. So 821-1230 is the number. All right. We just want to give a couple of people did email, I guess shy people email instead of calling, guesses to their question of the day, their answer to the question of the day, which is what percent of dentists obtain their continuing education online? Rob emailed a guess of 22%. Kara gave an answer of 60%. Okay? Neither of those is correct, but please keep your guesses coming. Now, here's a story. Woman arrested for practicing garage dentistry. If you're looking for a really inexpensive dentist, why not visit your neighbor's garage? Florida officials have arrested Maria Toledo, 56 years old, for allegedly practicing dentistry in a garage she converted into an office with a drill set and back reclining chair. She was charged for practicing dentistry and dental hygiene without a license. She apparently works as a dental assistant in a local dental office when not pulling teeth in her garage. This is interesting because it'd be different if she were practicing dental assisting in her garage, but she's actually doing the only job she does for real she's not doing in her own garage. Police said she had a ledger containing information for hundreds of patients, and deputies said that they had information she had practiced as a dentist in Mexico before moving to the U.S. Now, I don't know if that means she had a dental license in Mexico or she just did this in her garage in Mexico. Here's a quote from a neighbor. I live right beside them, and I didn't see any evidence of it going on. That was Therone Trimble, who is Maria Toledo's neighbor. I was aware that they converted their garage. I assumed it was another bedroom, he said. The front part of the garage was only 5 feet deep and had only lawn equipment and exercise equipment. You couldn't see what was behind it. So they built a false wall, apparently, and made a little dental office back there. So, here's a little list for all of my listeners, all of those of you that are up and listening. Here you go. There's some advice. Signs your dentist might not be licensed. Number one, they work in their garage. Number two, their tools are made by craftsmen. Number three, the dental chair is a lazy boy. Number four, the lazy boy is next to the lawnmower. Probably a craftsman, right? And five, they sterilize their tools with gasoline. I don't think it matters how much of a discount you're getting. It's probably not worth it to going to somebody who is working out of their garage. I don't think it's illegal to work out of a garage as long as you're actually a dentist. It would be illegal to work out of your garage if you're a dental hygienist and there's no dentist there. So, boy, the things we people won't do to save money. I know the economy's tight, but that's a little ridiculous, don't you agree? All right, so let's go to the woman who was awarded $2 million. What do you think's worth $2 million that you would get by suing your dentist? And what it is, this is South Carolina. South Carolina woman, wins $2 million jury verdict after a dentist mistakenly pulls all of her upper 16 teeth. This is an AP story. So, the state reported that a 28-year-old woman named Elizabeth Smith, she wanted three teeth pulled when she went to the Sexton Dental Clinic in Florence, Florida, back in 2006. Her lawsuit said a dentist at the clinic pulled all 16 of her upper teeth. State court records in Florence indicate that the jury returned the award late last week. Boy, look at that. It takes literally 3 years just to even get a case through the courts. That's kind of a sad sign all by itself. One of Smith's lawyers, Robert Ransom, said the woman plans to have restorative surgery as soon as possible. That's estimated to cost about $80,000. The clinic attorney, Saunders Bridges, said he is considering an appeal. His first name is Saunders. Anyway, okay, a couple things there. First of all, I don't know if they'll win on appeal. I don't know any of the other details, meaning is there some kind of informed consent that she agreed to have all of these teeth pulled? Was it a clerical error? But let's talk about the $80,000. I know some people are like, going, what? $80,000? How could dentistry ever cost $80,000? And I was doing the math this morning and preparing for the show. And essentially, I think what she's going to have done would be 16 implants. Now, granted, she probably won't need all 16 because 16 assumes you have your wisdom teeth. And she, even if she had them, doesn't need them for chewing and to be normal in that sense. It also, placing upper implants does require that there be adequate bone, and that in a lot of cases, the bone on the upper arch, there is this concern over the amount of bone before you reach the sinuses. And so she probably is going to need some sinus lifts. If she needs bilateral sinus lifts, she's looking at about, I think, $7,000 for both sides. And you know what? Let's go over the other costs that she'll incur after the break. So hang in with me and you'll find out what could possibly add up to $80,000. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and you're listening to Teeth Talk, basically. We're doing what we call Dental News Bites, talking a little bit about dentistry in the news. We have our question of the day and an answer, or rather a guest that came in during the break. Question of the day is, what percent of dentists obtain continuing education online? Georgia sent in an email saying she thinks it's 80%. That's a little high, Georgia, but thanks so much for participating. You can follow me, if you'd like, on Twitter by going to www.twitter.com/Dr. Kvitko, and that's doctor with no period after the R, just D-R-K-V-I-T-K-O. And also, if you'd like updates on upcoming shows, what will be happening and things that we're up to, you can go to dentallyspeaking.com and learn about that. But while I have you here, let me just tell you that next week we'll be doing one of our Teeth Across America interview shows, and the same thing the following Sunday as well. So those are always interesting because we interview people from all over the country and all walks of life. All right, now the lady that won the $2 million award, and we were talking about how she hopes to use the money to restore her upper arch, and it's estimated to cost about $80,000. Now keep in mind that is just the upper arch. And so I was trying to figure out how it could cost that much. I've done some pretty expensive treatment plans, but I can say I've never done an $80,000 one. I think the most we ever did was maybe about 44 or 50, something in that range. Of course, it takes time, but it does add up. So anyway, here's the thing. Sinus lifting to make enough room for implants on both sides in the posterior areas, I said would be about $7,000. If she does individual implants, she does 14 of them instead of 16. The implants themselves are about $2,000, so there's $28,000, so now you're up to about $35,000. And then the crowns that go on them are honestly about the same price as the implant, and so you have another $28,000, so $35,000, $28,000 is, what, $63,000? Did I get that right? 4 times 14 is 64. I'm sorry, no. 4 times 14, 4,000 times 14 would be 64, plus the 7,000 for sinus lifting would be, put it up to 71. And then, I guess, now that I think about it, maybe she is planning on having all 16 teeth done, and that would put it up to the 80. All right, well, of course, the company or the dental clinic's probably going to appeal, and oftentimes these big awards that you read about, hear about, another year and a half goes by, and you find that it was the damage award was reduced significantly. But it does get our attention, and this was an AP story, all right? It's a South Carolina woman. Now, here's a story about this. There's a South Florida man practicing dentistry without a license. Miami-Dade police arrested Eduardo Manuel Iglesias, 57 years old, for practicing dentistry without a license. Acting on a tip, police began to investigate Iglesias and discovered he was only licensed as a dental radiographer, not as a dentist. In an undercover operation, a detective made an appointment to see Iglesias at Dental Services Plus, which is a legitimate dental clinic, according to police. The quote, doctor made an examination viewed x-rays and determined the detective needed a root canal, which would cost $180. Iglesias was preparing to begin the dental work when police intervened to arrest him. Detectives later learned Iglesias had been practicing dentistry since last September. Wow, that's kind of scary. I know a lot of, new dental grads who don't do a lot of root canals because they don't feel comfortable with them yet. This was a story on August 16th, so this is just a week ago in South Florida. What is it with 56, 57-year-olds, huh? That woman doing it in her garage, she's 56, this guy's 57. I don't know, maybe, I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, and I don't know how they got tipped off, but kind of glad they did, because root canal's not something you want to have done by somebody that really doesn't know what they're doing. There's a lot of one of the big reasons root canals can't succeed is aseptic technique, because you have to be careful not only to introduce any bacteria into the root canal system, but you have to be able to clean out what's already in there. So, boy, why do all these people want to practice dentistry without a license, huh? Just go to dental school. Oh, let's see, we have time for, looks like, one more story before the break. And that is a story out of San Francisco. It's entitled, Money Laundering Dentist. A New Mexico dentist and his wife received 5 years of probation after they pled guilty of money laundering charges and ordered to pay $1.3 million in restitution. Dr. Raul Villalobos pleaded guilty to mail fraud, money laundering, and making false statements charges in April. In exchange, the government dropped 8 other charges against him. His wife, Elizabeth Villalobos, pleaded guilty to money laundering and tax fraud. In exchange, 9 charges against her were dropped. According to court records, the $1.3 million in restitution will go to the U.S. insurance companies they were accused of overbilling and double billing for work done by them on U.S. patients at their clinic. Court records show the FBI began investigating the Villalobos billing procedures in the mid-1990s after 2 insurance companies complained that they were receiving bills for services not performed. By 2003, 5 insurance companies had provided dental claim records to authorities, records show. All 5 insurance companies found discrepancies in the billing submitted by R. Villalobos, including unusual numbers of certain procedures, patients complaining of being charged for visits they did not make, and undated x-rays not matching the procedures billed, court records state. Raul Villalobos is no longer a practicing dentist. So, the money laundering, I guess, is that charge comes from illegal obtaining money. I don't know. I always thought money laundering was taking, like mob money and turning it into a legitimate business somehow. But since I've never done it, I don't really know how to do it or what they're talking about. So I guess that would be the charge. So anyway, they don't give his age. Maybe he's 56 or 57 too, huh? There's a new study that shows juices, tea, and energy drinks erode teeth. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that because it's a pretty interesting topic and people ought to be aware of it because there's so much, especially energy drinks, that people are consuming out there. That this is an important story. Remember, our question of the day is, what percent of dentists obtain their continuing education online? And give us a call at 821-1230 or send us an email to dentallyspeaking@am1230.com. So, you're listening to Dentally Speaking, here with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces sometimes.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. You're listening to Dr. Brian Kvitko, and we talk about everything teeth, anything about dentistry in the news, and just basic questions that people have about their teeth. So feel free to give us a call at 821-1230. It's 9:44, almost 9:45. So if your alarm's been going off for about a half hour, it's time to get up. But if you do, stay by the radio and listen to our last 15 minutes of our show first. All right, you can brush your teeth later. Okay, before we talk about the study that's showing that juices and tea and energy drinks erode your teeth, I just have a little story I want to mention. It's from August 14th. It was in the Bluefield Daily Telegraph in Bluefield, West Virginia. And basically, It's a nice little story. It says that a Maryland church is teaming up with a McDowell County clinic to help provide dental services to the region. The Tug River Health Association and the First Baptist Church of Landover, Maryland, are teaming up to provide dental services to the citizens of McDowell County. The church has 26 volunteers from Maryland who are coming to provide assistance to the community, including two dentists and two nurses. And this sounds like two real dentists and two real nurses, so this sounds great. And it's nice that, you know, dentists are out there helping out because it is, times are kind of tough and some people just need that kind of help. So kudos to those folks. And anyway, I think that's great. There was a story on TV the other day about a gentleman who holds health clinics around the country. And they include eye exams, dental exams, and actual cleanings and fillings. And it's grown to be so popular that they held it in a basketball arena down there on the floor. Okay, the juices and teas. Of course, we dentists have known and preached for years about the damages of carbonated sodas, that what that damage can do to your teeth. But new research has shown that other drinks thought to be better for your teeth, like fruit juices, tea, and energy drinks, can also harm your teeth. The constant exposure from acidic drinks strips the hard protective layer of tooth enamel and could dissolve the entire tooth over time. I've often thought about doing a little study myself where I just took an extracted tooth and set it in these different liquids and just watched it over time. I may still do that. If any of my staff is listening, remind me about that on Monday. We might do that. The constant exposure from acidic drinks strips the enamel. And this study was published in the Journal of Dentistry, and it showed that lemon, orange, and grapefruit juices can strip away enamel with their acidity. Orange juice was found to decrease enamel hardness by 84%. Now, the wearing away of enamel can lead to hypersensitivity, discoloration, and cracks on the teeth. Serious cases require crowns or even dentures for teeth that have disintegrated. According to the study published in General Dentistry by Dr. Mohamed Basuni, a restorative dentistry professor at Temple University, lemon juice showed the highest erosion potential. Researchers at the University of Iowa College of Dentistry found that energy drinks and sport drinks such as Gatorade and Red Bull erode the enamel more than soda and fruit juices. More. Did you hear that? Even some types of tea have been shown to cause erosion to the tooth surfaces because of their low pH. On the other hand, certain types of tea can actually stabilize the amount of tooth loss or demineralization of the tooth surface. Some helpful hints to avoid tooth erosion. 1. You can use a straw to avoid the teeth being immersed in the liquid. 2. Rinse your mouth out with water after drinking acidic beverages. This is one that I recommend to my patients all the time. 3. Would be drink the acidic beverages all at once instead of sipping them all day. 4. Would be substitute acidic beverages with water. So have water instead. And then another one, 5, would be, this is just a reminder, do not brush your teeth for 30 to 60 minutes after drinking one of these acidic liquids. The reason is you've now softened the enamel and you don't want to brush away the molecules, okay? Now here's a little table, a sample of pH levels. And for those of you that don't know, and most of you do, the pH is a measure of the acidity of a liquid. How acidic is it? So like battery acid would have a real low pH. Stomach acid has a low pH. Water is considered neutral. And neutral is 7. Okay, anything above 7 is considered basic. Actually, tap water is 6.8. So I rounded to 7. So anything below 7, or in this case 6.8, is considered acidic. Now there are basic solutions like lye, you know, like soap. Those are basic. And they have other problems. All right, so tap water, 6.8 is the pH. Tea, which would be include black or green, is ranges from 4.9 to 6.5. So it's not terrible, but it is still acidic. Orange juice has a pH of 4.0. Gatorade, a pH of 3.3. Grapefruit juice, 3.0. So Gatorade and grapefruit juice are almost the same. Sprite, 2.8. Pepsi, 2.7. Red Bull, about 2 to 3. Lemon juice, 2.0. And stomach acid, 1 or 2. So you see how lemon juice is almost the same as stomach acid. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back from this this next break. So, stay with us. It is 9:50. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
You make me smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. Thanks for joining me. It is 9:54 on this great Sunday morning. A little bit cool out there, but it's still going to be a great day. Looks like the rain has moved out. We're talking about the acidity in the different fluids, the different liquids that we drink, and how damaging that can be to our teeth. And before the break, we mentioned that tap water is a 7 pH, which is considered neutral, and that Red Bull, for example, is as low as 2, and stomach acid is from 1 to 2. So here's the thing, the most important thing about if you're going to drink these drinks. You should drink it all the way down and then have a glass of water or a couple swigs of water to bring the pH back to normal. Because what happens is if you take a drink of any of these and notice that, remember that Sprite and Pepsi were at 2.8, 2.7 in that order, the pH in your mouth drops to that, which is almost the same as stomach acid. And everybody's thrown up at some point in their life, and they get a little bit of that stomach, that acid in their mouth, and it's not very pleasant. And you can just imagine how that would eat away at teeth. So here's what happens. You take a drink of Sprite or Pepsi or any of those, and by the way, it doesn't matter whether it's sugar-free, diet, caffeine-free, none of that matters. It's just the acid. So if you take a drink, the pH drops to be about the same as stomach acid. And if you don't take another drink, you do nothing. Nothing. It takes 45 minutes for the pH in your mouth to come back to normal. But here's what happens. You're sitting at your desk. You maybe 10, 15 minutes goes by. You take another sip. You go about your work. You make some phone calls. You answer some emails. And then another 15, 20 minutes goes by. You take another sip. Before you know it, especially if you have more cans of this drink during the day, before you know it, you have been bathing your teeth in acid for the entire day. Your entire workday, your teeth are being bathed in acid. And I know people don't realize that. And, I mean, we drink it because it tastes good and all that, and maybe the drinking a little bit of water afterwards doesn't sound so appealing because you're going to take away the memory of that great taste. But it will erode away your teeth very noticeably. And we see it all the time. And I have a couple patients right now, one who's in dire need of treatment, and his treatment was going to have to include putting crowns on all of these teeth. It's going to be one of those, you know, $38,000 cases or something. And he hasn't done it yet. Money is an issue, as you can imagine, but that doesn't mean he won't have to do something. He'll either have to do that or he'll lose his teeth, get dentures, and he's not that old of a gentleman. So there you have it. Just remember, the soda pop especially, and even Red Bull and Gatorade will do that to your teeth. Before I forget, let me go ahead and give out the answer to today's question of the day. And the answer is 40% of dentists obtain at least some of their CE online. That's a pretty high number. That's almost half. Oh, I forgot to give out Chuck had called in a guess of 40. Sorry about that, Chuck. But yeah, 40 was close. You're probably actually the closest one that we had. And a little follow-up to that is that 81% of dentists go to state or local dental CE seminars. 47% go to faraway seminars. 47% also enjoy vacation destination dental seminars. I guess these would be like cruises, or a lot of these seminars are given in, you know, great parts of the country or the world, and it's a way of enticing people to go. And 23% use print media, such as magazines and whatnot. So, there you have it. I find that actually pretty interesting. I do a little bit of both. I always do more CE than is actually required in order to stay up on current topics. And in a way, I'm doing CE every week as I get prepared for this show. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, next week, Sunday morning at 9, is Teeth Across America. And the following week, Teeth Across America as well. So go out and have a great day. And tune in. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS. Thanks again.